There's several types of addictions. There's alcohol addictions. There's drug addictions. Sex addictions. Gambling. And there's even cell phone and internet addictions. Now, do you realize you can watch Blue Bloods on your cell phone? Because I have perfected for 55 years the addiction of watching too much television. So you can imagine my excitement when I realized that I could watch 100 hours of TV and consider it a religious experience by getting back to the congregation. So when I received the newsletter that said that this summer's topic was going to be what Jesus, and I suspect by extension God, could teach us from a TV program, I jumped at the opportunity. Because Blue Bloods over the last 5 seasons has been a topic that I've thought of for a great deal of time. Now what I intend to do today is to relate how Blue Blood and what Blue Blood teaches us about family values, character, and religious values. Now, maybe some of these principles that I talk about today will overlap. They'll be overlappable. Now, I only use that because it humored me, and I have no idea whether overlappable is a term. But if you have, an internet, you know, you can look it up. You know, I will illustrate a few of the principles, you know, tie them to biblical scriptures, relate them to Blue Bloods, and show if we follow these principles how we can become better people like Jesus would want us to. But first, let me explain the plot. Now, obviously, it's a police drama. There's a lot of police suspense. There's shoot 'em up, bang, bang. There's typical police plots and stereotypical poor police dialogue. But Blue Bloods, however, really centers around 4 generations of the Reagan family and then discussions of several past generations. And I will explain the characters in the plot from the standpoint of the patriarch of the family, Frank Reagan, played by Tom Selleck. Now, Frank Reagan was the former police chief of the New York City Police Department, and he is the current police commissioner. His father was the past police commissioner of New York City, and he has three children, plus one that died in the line of duty as a detective off show. His oldest son is a police detective and has a wife that is a nurse, and they have 2 sons, a grade school and a junior high student. Now, this detective is a rather unlikable, contentious, disagreeable, kind of a New York City aggressive law enforcement officer, often having to go to anger management classes. You know, he has the distinction of having the most citizen complaints against him, but also is recognized as the top detective in New York City, closing the most cases. Now, underneath it all, though, he is a great family man and lives up, tries to live up to the principles that I am going to talk about today. The second son graduated from Harvard Law School and passed up several lucrative offers from prestigious law firms in order to join the family business, and that is to become a New York City police officer. And as he said, because he wanted to help people. His sister says to him, "You really have a great heart. And despite what your brother says, that's a good thing." Now, the PC's daughter is the New York City's supervising assistant district attorney. And she has a rather precocious, strong-willed, intelligent, opinionated, and independent high school daughter that stands up to authority, speaks her mind when she feels she's right. As I said a couple years ago, she's 15 going on 30. So you can imagine the issues between daughter and mother, but also between the responsibilities of an assistant district attorney, who it is to convict criminals, and the police department, whose job it is to arrest criminals. Now, much of what we learn today, or what we learn from the program and how it applies to my message today, we learn from their Sunday family dinners. Now, every Sunday, 52 times a year after Mass, they meet for their Sunday dinners, and it's almost mandatory that they attend. Now, the following video is going to show the various dynamics of the Reagan family at the Sunday dinners. It should. Oh, we had you so well orchestrated.
I'll never do this, but I'd like to say grace today, if that's all right with everyone.
You got it.
Just want to say how blessed we are to have this food, this house, four generations of Reagan sitting around this table. You should never take that for granted. It's an honor.
Amen.
Well said, Jamie.
What's with wearing your heart in your sleeve today?
Jamie's playing big brother to this kid, this homeless kid.
DJ's 13 years old. He's been bounced around from family member to family member. He doesn't even have the basics. Regular meals with a roof over his head, so it was humbling.
So does he go to school?
Yeah, he did in Baltimore a little bit, but his aunt, who's taking care of him here, hasn't been a little
bit. Doesn't she care about him?
Yeah, but I don't think she can really take care of herself, Sean.
Family is the original Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. If that starts to fall apart, everything goes to hell.
Amen to that, too.
What kind of case is that?
His aunt disappeared. We're looking into every possibility. Even murder, right, Dan?
Oh, no.
That's a kid with much bigger problems to worry about than just his grades.
Oh, well, we can only have the problems that we have, Dan.
And we can also have a little bit of perspective, can't we, Linda?
Well, there's perspective and then there's denial.
You really want to get into this now?
Who knows what else I'm going to see him?
Dave, back to your corners. Pass the potatoes, please.
Now, I recently became an official member of this church, and during the process, Bill distributed a handout describing what it meant to be part of a church family. Now, I'm going to paraphrase the 4 points of that handout and apply it and relate it to the Reagan family as an introduction to my message. And what this handout said was, see if we can get this on here, build one up in faith, learn from one another, and teach one another. To set one another examples to follow, which includes the challenges to take up and the urgent tasks to perform. And living with a sense of joint venture, in this case, the family business of service to New York City, in which everyone has its proper place. Now, my first area that I'm going to talk about today is family values. Now, before anyone starts wondering what I mean by that, I am not talking about what family values means from a political standpoint. I'm not talking about it like the Democrats or Republicans might. I don't care, and it's not my place today. I don't care about redistribution of income or whether we should have a minimum wage or birth control or how you define marriage or what a woman should do with her body. What I am defining when I say family values, it is the, and we'll put this definition up, it is the traditions, the values, the core beliefs, the roles, the attitudes, the ideals passed on from generation to generation. And that is exactly what the Reagans have done for over 100 years. Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. So what does family values encompass, as demonstrated by the Blue Bloods? First, love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love one another deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. In one episode, the detective said, I worry about my family and the people I love, explaining his possible lack of empathy for a criminal that he had just arrested. You know, as a result of this program, or I guess I should say more specifically, during the preparation of this program, Father's Day came. And I'm sure that one of four things happened to almost everyone in here. You either went to your father's house, or I went out to dinner, spent some family time. They came to your house. They may have called you if they're out of the area. Or in my case, I called my dad because he lives in the Midwest. And the conversation went something like, hi, Dad, what you doing? What's happening today? You know, yada, 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 boring conversation, boring conversation. Until you get the obligatory, I love you. Now, not that you don't mean it, but you say it. But in this case, because I prepared for this and because I really studied hard to present this today, I stopped and I says, Dad, you know what I mean when I say I love you? It means I admire you. It means I honor you. It means I respect you. And it also means I envy you. I envy the fact that if you walked into this room, 20 or 30 people would walk out feeling better about themselves as a result. I'm proud to be your son, Dad, and I am honored that you are my father. Now, this is the way people react to the Reagans. The show even shows tough love, however, because the PC won't let his kids as police officers get by with anything because he looks after the department. Now, it also shows your friendship. John 13, chapter 15, verse 13, says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends." Now, they say that a man can be judged by the friends he keeps. And if that's true, I'm truly blessed. My best friends in L.A. are here today to support me. They're truly great people. They're religious. They live by the principles that I'm talking to today, and I'm proud to be their friends. In terms of the Reagan family, people who meet them become their friends. They are, whether they're friends because they're partners or police officers or because they're like family, they support their friends on every episode. Humor. I believe that humor is the glue and the cement that binds together a relationship, whether that is friends or family. Now, in the Reagan family, there's a lot of conflict centered around career responsibilities, centered around difference in political and social philosophies, or just because they're siblings. But these rivalries are oftentimes, and most of the time, solved by humor, and usually at the dinner table. Now, I almost left this out, to be honest with you, because I don't know if Jesus has a sense of humor. I actually did some research, and there was some conflicting opinion amongst biblical scholars. I mean, you don't hear Bill talking about sermons of the humor of Jesus. You can't go to Barnes & Noble or get on Amazon and find a book on Jesus' favorite jokes. But then I thought, God has a sense of humor. And how do I know that? I mean, how else would you explain giraffes with their long necks? Or elephants with their trunks? Or Brussels sprouts, for that matter? Oh, John, that was funny. You know... I'm sorry. You know, I really respect you for that. I really do, because I like humor. But and I guess that kind of leads me into the next one. Respect. You know? Respect. Now, here it is. Galatians 6:7, a man reaps what he sows. Now, you get what you deserve. God cares very much about how we live our lives. He cares about our conduct, and he cares about our motives. There are consequences for our actions. For example, the granddaughter, the high school student, after being picked on rather excessively by a teacher that didn't like cops, tweeted something really negative about this teacher. As a result, Rutgers withdrew a acceptance to her, and she had to go and, even though she did it reluctantly, apologize to school officials. Now, if I could do an aside here and digress just for a moment, one of my mom's favorite stories is when I was in third grade, I came home and I said, "Mom, did the principal call you today?" And Mom says, "What'd you do today?" And I go, "I don't know, but it's going on my permanent record." And the mother's always worried about, you know, the permanent record. Mom laughs and says, "No, Kirby, there is no such thing as a permanent record." And the reason I know that is they don't have the money to build a wing that it would take to build the storage space for your permanent record. And then she asked me what I did, and I says, "I don't know, it was written in a note." Mom asked me for the note, and I says, "I don't know, I left it at school because I figured, why should you waste your time reading it if she's just going to call you and tell you about it?" Now, I got in more trouble for that than I did for whatever I did that day. Now, the consequences of our actions in the eyes of the Lord are much more drastic than that, or can be much more rewarding, depending on the choices we make. Now, during one of the scenes, the son uncharacteristically defended a person that he didn't like, and when questioned about it, this detective that usually wouldn't do this, he says, "The Reagan legacy is giving each man his due. Respect, if you will. They believe in karma, even though it's not mentioned per se. They believe if you're trying to hurt someone or bring them down, unless they're a criminal, it'll come back to haunt you tenfold. They expound this belief on virtually every episode." Then you have commitment and loyalty. Now, I know in my family, and it's demonstrated in the Reagan family, you can fight with your siblings, you can argue with them, you can even talk to them for a while. But there is that principle that says if you have a problem with one of us, you have a problem with all of us. In my family, it was, you can't mess with my sisters. Or actually, it was, I'm the only one that can mess with my sisters. But more, you know, next one, morals, beliefs, and righteousness. Proverbs 13:6 says, righteousness guards the person of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. If you like the New Testament, 2 Galatians 8:21 says, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. The moral compass for the Reagan family is demonstrated by the police commissioner. He draws a line on using his position as the most popular person in New York for political gains. I mean, they've asked him to run for mayor. His favorite historical figure is Theodore Roosevelt, who was the police commissioner in New York City before he became president. Frank Reagan could run the city, but he has a limited ego and great humility. Humility. Now, I actually should say he does have an ego, but he does not let his ego interfere with his humility. If his kids argue too aggressively at the kitchen table, a word or two about civility or not at my table calms him down. And then you can imagine all the conflicts as you saw that occurs in the Reagan family. About a month ago in a sermon, Bill said, never get tired of doing the right thing. And this is a core belief of the Reagan family. You know, the granddaughter is always standing up to school officials, as I indicated. And as I said, much to the consternation of her mother. And then all the Reagans have gone to parochial schools. So the granddaughter has to be right, and usually is right, because she takes the high road. Next general area is character. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't think I could define character any better than that. It also includes trustworthiness. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. In one case, the youngest son, the police officer, violated a New York City policy, and it could have easily have avoided a suspension. It could have easily have avoided a write-up. But when the PC asked him if he did it, he not only admitted it, but he said, if the situations occur again, I'll do it again. It's courage to do the right thing. I mean, during one of the children's sermons a couple weeks ago, Sarah talked about conviction to do the right thing in the eyes of the Lord. The PC does what he says what he believes, even at the risk of his own job. Even if the mayor and the citizens of New York City don't want to hear it. The PC is a man of great honor and courage. He is constantly faced with what he would like to do and what his moral character guides him to do. As Frank Reagan says, what he can do and what he should do are two different things. During an argument that he had with one of his police chiefs, when this police chief was rather slow in disciplining a lieutenant that was playing around in the gray area, and I love this statement, he said, something is not proper just because it is permissible, nor is it ethical because it is legal. Cops have to be held to a higher standard. And I suspect everyone in this room believes that we all have to be held to a higher standard. Caring. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burden, and in that way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The Reagans feel for their victims, the unfortunate, the unlucky. The detective's partner once said, when he did not feel good about an arrest, our job is supposed to help people, not hurt them. Every Reagan, back for generations, have gotten either suspended or in trouble with the department because they get too involved in their cases in order to help the victims. Responsibility. Now, when I was doing a lot of research on this, and I kind of fell for 2 Corinthians, In chapter 5 in particular, they talk a lot about responsibility and accountability, and especially, obviously, responsibility and accountability to the Lord. But then as I was doing more research, I realized that they're not only talking about responsibility to the Lord, but they're talking about responsibility to your fellow man. Basically, this whole show is about accountability, responsibility to tradition and honor, responsibility to yourself, and responsibility to the Lord. All traits Jesus wants us to live by. Fairness. Impartiality. We've already explored that the sons not only don't get any breaks with the police commissioner, but they don't even get the breaks that their contemporaries might. And whereas the family will defend and protect the clan, the police commissioner protects the greater good. However, he has said to one of his sons, "Hey, don't tell the police commissioner I said this, but as your father, I think you ought to do the following." Respect. Luke 6:31, treat others the way you want them to treat you. It's a golden rule that we learned in grade school, if not or kindergarten, if not before. The Reagans are loyal to their friends, but within their moral compass. The PC gets respect because he defends his 35,000 police officers when they deserve it. He does not play politics, doesn't take favors, like I said, even with his sons, less so with them. But his family and his friends and his fellow workers respect him even more for it. For example, the police commissioner orchestrated an early retirement for one of his police captains when that captain was accused of drinking on the job. Now, because of this police captain's role, they didn't test him at the time. But the police commissioner knew he was drinking, or suspected it like almost 100%. And when the police commissioner asked him, "Did you drink on the job?" He could have lied. He could have got out of this early retirement. But he knew he would have lost Frank Reagan's respect, and that was not something he wanted to do. Now, I don't know if you could make that tough decision. I don't know if I would. I don't know if I always do. But I think Jesus would want us to. PC also had his daughter investigated once without her knowledge when she was dating a person of interest in an international drug theft case. And then citizenship and service. This is actually about giving back. It's about the greater good. This is also goes back to caring. I mean, do you seek to serve? You know, as one of the detective's partners once said, is there one aspect of public service you Reagans are not involved in? And there's no question that part of the Reagan's legacy is service. They have 5 or 6 generations of New York City police officers. They serve New York City. But they also take leadership in their church and in their community. The police commissioner reluctantly or not does not at all if it means that he's doing it for political purposes or if he's doing it for appearance purposes. And he will not definitely do it all for his own personal gratification. Their example is a legacy that we could leave, whether that's in our church, whether it's in our community, through membership in civic organizations, through private volunteering, or just giving back to the community. Jesus wants us to give of ourselves. Jesus came to earth to serve, not to be served. And Jesus has shown us through this program how we can serve him and become better people. Now, finally, religious values. Now, I've already pointed out that many of these principles obviously overlap, and so I'm just going to summarize. There's, of course, tens of verses that I could use, but Bill has only given me so much time, and I don't want to bore you any more than I probably already have. But so I just want to say the Lord gave the skills and the ability to the writers to express their thoughts through Blue Bloods. Jesus has used Blue Bloods to teach us about the following: morality, ethics, integrity, honor, conviction, conduct, commitment, family, love, service, responsibility, and righteousness. The Bible, Jesus, and this program demonstration shows us a path to live by showing us, you know, compassion to those in need, treating others as we would like to be treated, continually learning and growing spiritually and intellectually. Being humble in our relationship with others, not allowing your ego to interfere with your humility. And showing us how to conduct a moral, ethical, spiritual, honest life of righteousness. Now I'm going to end with a summary video played to the music of I Got You. Now I'd like to tell you who performed I Got You, but I couldn't find it. So if any of you have this addiction to your cell phone and your internet, you can look it up. So here is the family I Got You Blue Bloods. Uh-oh. Not that one.
Figured it out in my head. I'm proud to say I got you.